Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetective. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net. And thank you so much to Ed for doing just that. Thank you so much for your support, Ed. You can also use the Zelle app. Send to box13@greatdetectives.net. Or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. In addition, you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to welcome our latest Patreon supporter. Thank you to Richard supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of The Man Called X. There were two lost episodes in between this week's and the last one we played. The original air date is November the 2nd, 1947, and the title is Ashes to Ashes.
You're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire presents Herbert Marshall as the Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find the Man Called X. And now Frigidaire presents Herbert Marshall as Ken Thurston, The Man Called X. In a government office in Washington, D.C., a moving picture is being shown to a select group of men. A top-secret film made at heavily guarded radar testing fields in the Arizona desert.
Important test of the electronic brain in this radar-guided airplane is the landing. No personnel was aboard during these shots. The electronic brain performed all functions.
Mr. Thurston, the possibilities of the electronic brain are almost limitless.
Yeah, Colonel. For both good and evil.
Why, what do you mean by that, Thurston?
I just think what might happen if that little device fell into the wrong hands.
The men you see now are some of the foreign scientists brought to this country to work with us in developing this remarkable invention. They, as well as
Colonel,
our own experts.
That man in the film. Left at the end of the second road. You know that man?
Why, yes, Thurston. That's Professor Hosmer.
Hosmer?
A famous French scientist now working at the Arizona testing grounds.
Colonel, he, 3 years ago in France, I was caught in a bombing raid. So was Professor Hosmer. He didn't come out alive.
Well, of course Hosmer's alive, Ken. And his papers, when he came over here, were in perfect order.
Chief, I tell you, I saw his laboratory in Calais blown to bits. His death was never reported for security reasons.
Well, then who's the man you saw in that picture? The one supposed to be Hosmer?
That's just it. I don't know. That's why we got to check on this thing.
Yes, Ken, maybe you've got something.
Listen,
there.
The electronic brain is our secret now, for use in peacetime aviation. But if it got into the wrong hands, it could be turned into a terrible weapon. For destroying lives, instead of saving them.
Ken, you're right.
Okay, then, Chief. I'm heading for Arizona.
Yes?
Well?
What is it you want, please?
They tell me Professor Hosmer lives here. I'd like to see him.
Who are you?
My name's Ken Thurston.
Ken Come in, please.
Oh, thanks. Well, looks like you're doing some packing. Photographic gear, isn't it?
That's right, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, pretty valuable stuff, too. That infrared equipment, for instance.
Mr. Thurston, Perhaps you'd care to state your business here?
It's with Professor Hosmer. Maybe I better tell him.
He's not around right now. I'm Jean Alexander, his secretary. I'm sure I can handle it for him.
Oh, I don't mind waiting. I'll stick around till he gets back.
You'll have a long wait, Mr. Thurston. Professor Hosmer died last night.
Huh? Pretty sudden, wasn't it?
Very. Heart attack. There was nothing his physician, Dr. Brenner, could do to save him. It was a great shock to us.
Yeah, I can see it's still a tough way to talk about it. Took you long enough to tell me. At least I should pay my last respects. Where can I see him?
I'm afraid you can't, Mr. Thurston. According to the wishes of his sister, Evelyn Hosmer, the body has been cremated. The ashes were shipped to her in San Francisco this afternoon.
Oh. Well, thanks anyway. I'd say goodbye, only I think I'll be seeing you again. Quite soon, Miss Alexander.
Will you? I don't think I'd advise you to try it, Mr. X.
Attention, please. Flight 7 for San Francisco now loading at ramp 3. Flight 7 now loading at ramp 3.
Mr. Thurston, wait for me.
Well, what the...
Don't go, wait.
Oh, no.
Hello, Mr. Thurston.
Egon Zellschmidt, what are you doing in Phoenix?
What a question. I'm here to stop you from taking that airplane to San Francisco. What else?
What?
Mr. X, it's positively official. The chief sent me.
That yarn's wearing thin, Pagon. Better get another.
But the chief did send me, Mr. Thurston. He learned that some professor kicked the bucket, so you didn't have to go hunting for him no more. And won't you back in New York?
Well, you'll have to wait a while, Pagon. I've got to help the poor bereaved sister, Professor Hosmer, bear up under her sorrow when she receives his ashes.
Huh? The chief won't take that for an excuse.
Oh, I think he will, Pagon, when he remembers that electronic brain and the fact that our files show Hosmer hasn't got a sister.
Mr. Thurston, why are we flying to San Francisco? It's the wrong direction. New York is on the West Coast.
If you don't think this is the right direction, ask Miss Jean Alexander.
You mean that cute little cookie sitting up the head there?
Yeah. See you later, Pagon.
Mr. Thurston!
Hello, Miss Alexander.
I was wondering if you were going to annoy me, Mr. Thurston.
If you want me to say that he stops annoying you, Jean.
That won't be necessary, Dr. Brenner. He's going away.
Dr. Brenner? Oh, yes, Professor Hosmer's physician.
Well?
Must have bothered you quite a bit to sign his death certificate, or did it?
Rest assured, Thurston, there was nothing wrong with that diagnosis. I'd stake my reputation on it. A post-mortem would easily bear me out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty safe bet, isn't it, Doctor? I never have heard of a successful autopsy on a pile of ashes. Now, Pagon, you stay here while I go to see Evelyn Hosmer. If Dr. Brenner drives up and starts shooting, just holler, and I mean holler.
Don't you worry about the thing, Mr. Thurston, Alva. Huh?
Hello, Mr. Thurston.
Oh, you know me?
But of course. I have been expecting you. Come in, won't you?
I never refuse a lady's invitation when it's backed up by a cold automatic.
You are very sensible, Mr. Thurston. The living room is that way. You will go first, please.
I see your brother got here all right, Miss Hosmer.
You are referring to the urn containing his ashes, no doubt. It arrived quite safely.
Oh, so did that projection machine. For picture slides, isn't it?
Part of my dear brother's photographic equipment.
What's he doing here?
You do not have to answer that, my dear.
Hello. When did you come in?
A moment ago, my dear Thurston, but before we continue this conversation, you have seen my gun, no doubt. Lest you are tempted to indulge in foolish heroics, please turn your back to me.
Why not?
Thank you, Mr. X.
What are you doing here? Who are you?
My dear Evelyn, that's nothing for you to be alarmed about. I'm your dear dead brother, Professor Hosmer.
Brother?
I've merely dropped in to collect my ashes.
And now to continue with Frigidaire's Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall.
It's a few minutes after the startling appearance of Professor Harzma in the apartment of his sister Evelyn. Ken Thurston is just starting to come.
Wake up, Mr. Thurston. Please wake up. Why do you have to lie there like a dead corpse?
Rapego.
That's right, Mr. Thurston.
Rapego. Where are the others?
That Evelyn Harzma came running downstairs a few moments ago with her grandfather, so I came running up and found you out like a dark light.
Yeah. Only that grandfather was Professor Harzma.
But he's dead.
The real professor, yeah. He died in Calais 3 years ago. The man you saw was his half-brother.
Oh.
He came over here on the dead professor's papers and wangled his way into the electronic brain project.
Huh?
He was once suspected of selling military secrets to the enemy. Could be he's still at it.
Oh, corpses, half-brothers, electrical brains. Mr. Thurston.
Look there. See the metal tag on that projection machine?
Tag? Oh. Patterson's Golden Gate Photo Service?
Yeah. That's where we're going to answer your questions.
Thurston, there's no lights in the picture shop. Nobody home.
Patterson's delivery truck parked out there. So he's probably around somewhere. Try this back door. Come on.
It's dark like the inside of coal here.
This flashlight will help.
Look at this place. What a mess. Cameras. Hey! Mr. Thurston.
Hagan, that's Evelyn Harzma.
Oh. But who did it? And why was she killed here?
Maybe that projector will tell us. Looks like she was operating when she was shot. Still a transparency in the film holder. Let's see.
Look, there's a picture on the screen. It's that luscious little lady who was on a plane with us.
Yeah, so it is.
And look at that lovely bathing suit she's wearing. Mr. Thurston, did you have to turn off this light so soon?
Let's switch on another one, Pagar. This one.
Huh? What's that?
An infrared tube attached to this projector. And I have an idea. Let's see.
Double feature's no good, Mr. X. This one's got nothing but squares and lines in it with funny figures.
That's an infrared photo of a blueprint, Pagon. A blueprint of part of the design of the electronic brain.
It is?
Yeah. Pasted between two identical ordinary transparencies. Takes infrared light to show it up.
Imagine that.
Harzma made infrared photos of all the plans, then cooked up a fake death to clear himself of any suspicion. And the urn contained negatives instead of ashes. A perfect way to ship him safely.
Wasn't so safe for that sister Evelyn.
She wasn't his sister. Just someone they'd hired. Of course, she had the same name. To help him tripping up anyone who got suspicious and might have checked on him.
Mr. Thurston, somebody's coming in the front door.
Yeah, quiet. Okay, I've got the negative. Now over to the back door fast.
There's nothing in the machine. Hello, this is Brenner. I'm at the shop. There's no negative in that projection machine. All right, I'll look around. We haven't any time to waste. I'll drive the truck over as soon as I make a final check.
Okay, Pagan, I've heard enough. Let's go.
Yes, all right.
Pagan, I'm going to get into the back of the Patterson Company's truck. There's a chance I'll be hitchhiking a ride to where Harzma is and the plans.
What am I supposed to do?
Call the chief. Tell him to send out a coastwide arrest order for Harzma and Brenner on a charge of espionage. Now beat it.
Okay, Mr. Thurston, you can depend on it.
Yeah. Oh, it's too dark in here to see, but that perfume tells me I've got company in this truck. Is that right, Miss Alexander?
Yes, that's quite right. Won't you sit down and make yourself comfortable? Mr. X.
Go on, Jean.
Can Professor Harzma plan this fourth step to protect himself from enemies? Foreign agents who'd known him overseas. They were after him because of his knowledge of the electronic plane mechanism. And I think Dr. Brenner is one of those enemies.
That's why you followed him to the Photoshop? And hid in this truck?
Yes, I've got to find out the truth. For Professor Hosmer's sake.
What about me? How do you think I fit into the picture?
I'm not sure, but as long as we're both trailing Dr. Brenner, I'm willing to work with you. After that, I... Wait a minute. I think he's stopping at last.
Yeah.
Ken, what if Brenner comes back here before we get out?
And somebody's liable to get hurt. We'll know in a minute. Looks like he's gone. Come on, G.
Fog out here. It's so thick you can't see 5 feet away. Where could we be?
An hour out of San Francisco. All this fog, surf, and the smell of pines. We could be somewhere near Half Moon Bay.
Quite right, Thurston.
Professor Hosmer.
We are at Half Moon Bay. Unfortunately, the fog prevents you from seeing it, but I can tell you that it's a beautiful place in which to live. And even a beautiful place in which to die.
Have you had any luck with those ropes, Ken?
Not yet. It's so dark in this room, I can't even see if there's anything around that might help.
Do you think he'll keep us in this old house very long?
I doubt it. The films are no good to him until he gets them out of the country somehow to sell. If we... Listen.
What's that?
Shortwave radio set in the next room. Now listen.
Do you know what it means, Ken?
Yes, listen. Yeah. Rendezvous. South American freighter. Down the coast. At a place they're calling CR.
CR?
Yeah. He signed off.
And he's made his contact. He won't need us anymore.
Looks like it. Our only chance is to get out of these ropes before we...
You know, is it?
Easy, Jean, easy.
Mr. Thurston.
Pagan.
Mr. Thurston, then you are here.
How'd you... Oh, never mind. Save it for later. Get out your knife. Cut these ropes.
It's as good as done. You realize, of course, Mr. Thurston, I couldn't leave you on the perch that way. So I followed you. Believe me, that taxi cost a fortune. There.
Good. Now cut jeans.
Ah, the cute cook in a bathing suit. A pleasure.
What did the chief say when you called him?
When I called who?
So you didn't call him. I might have known.
But, Mr. Thurston, that Dr. Brenner was driving the truck right away. You wouldn't want me to desert me.
Ken!
Come on. They came for the next room. Stay behind me, Jean. Well.
Professor Hosmer. Dead.
Yeah. Brenner didn't miss.
Brenner?
Sure. Hear that car? He's beating it. Come on, Pagan. We're going after him.
Sure. My taxi.
But, Ken, with all that fog out there, how can you tell where he's going?
That's not too tough, Jean. He's going to meet a South American freighter at a rendezvous called CR. The Cape Receiver Lighthouse.
And you think that Brenner no good is out here?
It figures. Down the coast from Half Moon Bay. CR for Cape Receiver, and there's his car. Here. Look out to sea. There, where the wind's lifting the fog.
You mean that little light out there? Blinking on and off?
Yeah. The freighter is signaling its position. And there, up in the tower, an answering light. That's where Brenner is. Come on, Pagan.
But, Mr. Thurston, we haven't got any guns. And he likes to shoot people. Why don't we go back to Half Moon Bay and join that lovely gin?
Quiet. We're going into this lighthouse.
There's no lights in here, except from the top of the place.
Yeah. The light tower. And that's where Brenner is.
Where's the lighthouse keeper?
This is an automatic light. Come on, up the stairway.
But it's two stories high up there. I get dizzy in high places. A kleptomaniac, you understand? Oh, Mr. Thurston.
Who is it? Who's down there?
It's him. It's him. He's seen us.
Who's there, I said?
It's Thurston, Brenner.
Thurston?
That's right. I'm coming after those films.
You're wrong, Thurston. You'll never live to get them. You're a fool, Thurston. You can't climb those stairs and live. All right, you ask for it. You're mad, Thurston. Go back. All right, you've had your last chance. This time you're close enough so I can't miss.
so you wouldn't listen to me. All right, you see how you got paid off. You were a sucker, Thurston.
Yep.
Oh. No, you can't. That bullet struck home. I know it did. Thurston!
Three shots at Hosmer, three at me. Count them, Brenner. That gun of yours is empty. All right. Now let's have those films.
No. No, I've got an ace up my sleeve. The sea ladder out on the light walk.
Come back here, Brenner. You'll never make it down the ladder in that wind.
You haven't won yet, Thurston.
Brenner, that ladder's as slippery as ice. You can't make it.
Goodbye, Thurston. I've taken the last trick after all. I... Thurston! My foot slipped! Help, I'm going to fall! I'm going to... Ah!
Yeah, the last trick, Brenner. The very last.
Oh, there's blood on your sleeve.
I'm all right.
Oh, the Dr. Brenner. What happened to him? Where'd he go?
Into the sea, Pagan.
Then he's gone for good. And Professor Hosmer is gone, too. Ha! There's nobody else left for us to worry about.
Oh, no, Pagan.
Huh?
As long as there are men on Earth like Hosmer and Brenner, there's plenty to worry about. It's not the film they killed for that matters. It's a more tragic film. The greed that covers the eyes of men like that. Blinded them to the fact that peace... peace is the salvation of mankind. They've got to be made to see that. All of them.
Frigidaire star, Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. Next week, our story is called Written in the Sands. It's packed full of excitement and mystery, and I think you'll like it. As usual, Leon Belasco will be along as Pagan Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return, without a cold, as the man called X. Good night.
Frigidaire's Man Called X is directed by Jack Johnstone, with music composed and conducted by Johnny Green. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. And so, until next week, same time, same station, this is Ken Niles speaking for Frigidaire, made only by General Motors. All characters and incidents used on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual persons or incidents is purely coincidental. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. I think it should be a hard and fast rule that the first time somebody identifies Ken Thurston as the man called X, a dramatic beat is appropriate. After that, it's kind of overkill. Because people calling him Mr. X for emphasis without any reason, that kind of gets a little old. The ending was interesting, and I think I remember it. I heard a similar ending on Dangerous Assignment. I don't remember the exact episode, and we'll have to check for sure when we get into Dangerous Assignment in a couple of years. Though it does seem like script reuse between Man Called X and Dangerous Assignment would be pretty easy since they are very similar shows. At this point, Pagan should know better than to tell the Man Called X that something is finished or done with. Because that does tend to lead into a speech. But I think it is with a good reason. Particularly after World War II, there was a big feeling in culture about the need to be vigilant. After World War II, all the sacrifices, the loss of life, the loss of liberty in so many portions of the world... Edmund Burke's idea that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, that, I think, really was a watchword after World War II. The idea that you can't just assume that you're going to be safe from evil. It's going to require a constant battle. And the man called X really embodies that. He knows that he managed to prevent one plane part from falling into the wrong hands. Won the day, but tomorrow, as they say, is another day. I also find these episodes interesting as you kind of get the idea of some of the technologies that they were concerned with or fascinated by. And you can kind of compare to some of our modern technology when you think about things like the drones that probably would have just been considered science fiction during this time. Now, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Stephanie. Stephanie has been one of our Patreon supporters since March, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support. Well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Mystery is My Hobby, and then next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of The Man Called X. And next Saturday, we'll be bringing you a previously uncirculated episode of Police Blotter, so you won't want to miss it. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.